I'm thankful for the confirmation of the Holy Ghost and for the flow of His Spirit. And I feel that I'm in the will of God tonight. If we could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture, everybody say all scripture. That means every verse, every line. We used to sing a song when we were in Sunday school, something to the effect, every chapter, every verse, every line. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I didn't make it up. I don't make up the rules. I just follow them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished with all good works. That word thoroughly there is almost like thoroughly, very close. It is thoroughly. Do I have a typo in here? I do. Mine spells T-H-R. Oh, you. Interesting. Thoroughly, completely, altogether. All scripture. I'm thankful for the scripture today, the inspired word of God. And I'd like to talk a little bit tonight about correction. Correction. All scripture is given for several things, but one important part of it is correction. Now, who all likes correction? All those hands being waved. We all love correction, right? Not really. Not so much. Why is that? You're some smart folks. Help me out. Painful. Humbling. Nobody likes it. Why is it painful? It's what you don't want, right? So if you're being corrected, that means you're doing something that you wanted to do that someone else didn't agree with, or something, a situation didn't agree with your alignment or your way of thinking. The main reason why we don't like correction is because we all have a will. We all have direction for ourselves. We all have our own desires, our own mind, our own leading, self-will. We all have things we want to do in life. We all have places we want to go, people we want to see, and it doesn't always align with the will of God, the kingdom of God. I found that my will, most of the time, if not all the time, is in direct opposition with the will of God. And when I lean on my own will, it'll take me to places I don't want to go. I may think I want to go there. That may be where I start to want to go. But when I end up getting there, it turns out not to be the place I wanted to go. Our flesh is contradicted by the word. Because the word is the word of God. It's the direction, the spirit of God. God speaking to us, speaking to our lives, speaking to our lifestyle. And the Bible says that the word of God is sharp and powerful. It's called a sword, right? The word is the sword. The Bible is often called the sword. And a sword is not a delicate instrument, but it's a very powerful instrument. And it can do some damage if handled with a person who knows how to use it. And it can do other damage if someone uses it incorrectly. But it's a sharp tool, but it's given by God, by inspiration of God. And it is profitable to us. Think about what our world would look like without correction. Just say, for example, driving to work in the morning. Think about how your commute would look like without correction, or another word for correction. What was the word I was looking for? Anyway, without correction, start there. All right, no speed limits, no 60 miles an hour. Now, I understand that to be a upper limit. You're not supposed to go over 60 miles an hour. I know a lot of people think that's a lower limit, and you're not supposed to go under 60 miles an hour. There's an amen back there. But think about that. No speed limit. You're driving to work. There's no lines on the road. There's no police officers to worry about. There's no stop signs. There's no yield signs. There's no instruction. There's no corrections. You have a place to go. You got to get to work on time. You might be running a little behind because, and chances are everyone else is too. So without any direction or corrections, we're all going to be driving and getting to work in a way that's not safe to ourselves and not safe to the ones around us. So chances are we'll be getting into a little bit of trouble. But I'm thankful today for corrections, for lines, for boundaries, for God-given boundaries that we can find in this word. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, the book of Proverbs is actually full of examples for correction and speaks to correction and instruction quite a bit. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. Says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The Lord will chasten you. The Lord will correct you. And we all, I've already made it clear that we're not big fans of correction when we're going through it. It's not pleasing to us. It doesn't feel good. But the Bible says that the Lord chastens. He corrects those that he loves. I've been on the receiving end of a lot of correction throughout the years. And looking back, I'm thankful for it. I really am. I'm extremely thankful for it. I'm thankful that God allowed me to encounter corrections in my life. If it were not for corrections, I shudder to think where I would be today. But it says here how a father corrects in verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I would do something stupid, something wrong, something displeasing to my parents. And we didn't have a lot of different types of correction in my house. We didn't have a timeout corner. We didn't have anything like that. And it was really pretty basic, pretty simple. You do something wrong, you're going to get a spanking. Pretty cut and dry. And, you know, there were different levels of something wrong, I would say. But for the most part, we knew that if mom had to pick up the phone and call dad at work, there was one thing we could look forward to when he got home. There wasn't leeway there. There wasn't question about it. We just knew, all right, mom's giving us the warning. You know, she's saying, all right, you better knock it off. She had different levels, you know. You could tell, okay, she's getting a little warmer. All right, she's reaching that point. We better back it off just a little bit here. And we know once she picks up the phone, she started picking up the phone as a last warning. This is your last warning. She picks up the phone. We knew what that meant. And usually we'd call it good at that point. But when she made that phone call, we got a spanking when dad got home. Now, growing up, we took some pride in what we were spanked with. I'll tell you. So my dad made a sword for Sunday school. He was teaching Sunday school once, and he made a sword out of wood. That sword was ideal for executing discipline. And that thing had sting like no other. So we graduated from the sword. And my dad works in the woods. He's a forester. So he brought home an axe handle one day. And we knew we had graduated. No longer were we under the sword. We were under the axe handle. So I could always tell my friends, yeah, well, I get spanked by either a sword or an axe handle. And I kind of took a little pride in that, but it made me macho, made me masculine, I guess. Like I said, I've had quite a bit of experience with correction. More recently, I had to go to the orthodontist. I had to get something called braces on my teeth the day after Christmas, about 3 months ago. And I just had a desire to experience something so great. And I just, you know, man, I just wish I could have braces, you know? And really the reason wasn't that my teeth looked bad to me. It was the fact that they were killing each other. I had some crowding issues in my front teeth. I didn't have an overbite, so my front teeth were hitting on each other, and if I didn't do anything about it, I would lose my front teeth in a few years. They were wearing away at each other. So, as a corrective measure, I went to the orthodontist, and he says, yeah, for about 2 years, you can hope to go through this. So we'll get you corrected, pull a couple teeth here, and send you a couple bills, and we'll be all right. We'll be good to go. So I said, all right, well, we'll move forward with this. So this process, I think God must be trying to teach me something, because I keep going through these corrective things in my life, and which is, I guess, what I'm talking about tonight. But going to the orthodontist, so every month or so you go, and he has this plan, and he tells you a little bit about it beforehand. He says, you know, we're going to move these teeth around and take these guys out here and push these ones over here. And you say, okay, well, you know, you're the expert. You went to school for 8 years and been practicing for how many years on top of that? So I'll trust you. I'll believe you. You have more information on this than I do. You're the expert. I'll sign up. And I just had another visit yesterday, and they put these springs between my teeth. And it kind of feels like, I don't know, a giant crowbar being put in there and prying apart a little bit. Not that extreme, but it's not a joyful experience. But I was showing my wife, and I was like, man, I have gaps in my teeth now. I mean, my teeth looked okay beforehand. You know, they didn't look all crooked and stuff too bad. I mean, if you look close enough, they were. But now there's these gaps between my teeth. And, you know, I paid the guy to fix my teeth, not to make them look like this. So the reason why I don't, march up to his office and give him a piece of my mind, hey, buddy, you're messing up here. Look at what's going on here. The reason I don't do that is because I trust him. Because I trust that his plan for what I'm going to look like in the end isn't what I'm looking like right now. And obviously there's an analogy there spiritually. You know, God has a plan. He has a plan for every one of us. Every individual, he has a perfect plan for you. His plan for you, it doesn't look like someone else's plan necessarily, but God knows what he's doing. And I've encountered times in my life where I needed some discipline. My flesh needed to be disciplined. My flesh needed correction. And like Brother Hart was saying, it can be found in the Word. The Bible will correct you. But it's really up to you how you allow it to affect you. How well something corrects you depends on your response to correction. In just thinking about it, I thought of how people reach adulthood with issues. We'll just call them issues, all right? And there's two root causes that I came up with, and I know there's a lot of reasons, but here's a couple big buckets. And it's, number one, they weren't in contact with correction growing up. They didn't have someone there to guide them, maybe, to instruct them and to correct them when they were wrong. So a lot of people grow up, and if they're not corrected when they're young, like the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Training up means they're growing. So everybody realizes it's easier to correct something when they're small, or correct someone when they're small, than when they're older. The older we get, the more set in our ways we get, the more habits we already have, the more difficult it is to change. The orthodontist said that, you know, most people get braces when they're kids, when they're teenagers. And I actually had braces when I was younger. But the problem was my jaw kept growing. So the older I get, now that I'm in my 20s, it's more difficult for things to move around because my jaw and my bone structure has already gotten set in its ways and already fused together and become more brittle and more difficult to move, not as pliable. So number one is the lack of correction in someone's youth. But number two is the response to correction. So there's one category, there just wasn't correction, so you're free to do whatever you want to do. And as we discussed, we follow our own wills wherever we want to go. We're going to end up where we don't want to go. But the other side is the response to correction. Bishop brought up the strong-willed child on Sunday. Everybody remember that? Growing up, I had some friends and people my age, I'll call them, weren't really friends, but watching how they responded to correction and seeing where they are today, it makes a lot of sense. The Word of God is it's a sword and it's a help. It's the Bible says it's a light to our feet. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So if we're using the Word of God, it'll show us things coming up that we need to be careful of or we'll trip on. So, you know, the Word of God will illuminate those things where we're walking and say, whoa, you know, if you take two more steps, you're gonna have an accident there. You're gonna fall on your face. But it doesn't force us to realign ourselves and take two steps back, say, okay, let's find this path and get back on it, because somehow I got off the trail. How we respond to the correction of God through the Word of God is vital to how spiritually you'll mature and how effective you'll be for the kingdom of God. God corrects those he loves. I remember hearing the saying, it hurts me more than it hurts you. Anybody heard that one? And as a kid, I was like, you liar. How can this hurt you more than it hurts me? I'm getting the pain. You're administering the pain. But if you look at it in this context, you understand it. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. The Lord corrects you because he cares about you. He corrects you because he loves you and he desires good things for your life. I'm thankful for the correction of the Lord. If it wasn't for the correction of the Lord, it's a dark place, and you don't have to look very far to see examples of folks who decided not to take correction and use it in a positive way. There's two ways we can respond to correction: with a contrite spirit, saying, "All right, you're right, and I'm wrong. And my will isn't cutting it. It's not gonna get the job done for the kingdom." And then there's the other side, is responding in rebellion, saying, "No, my will's better. I'm right." And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which is, you know, you're setting. It's idolatry, right? You're setting your will above the will of God. And the Lord has desires for each of us. He has a perfect, perfect will, a perfect plan. And if you'll receive instruction and you'll heed instruction, you know, it's not always going to feel good. Correction rarely feels good. But if we're not willing to listen and heed instruction and heed correction, we'll end up where we don't want to go. Amen.
Brother Heiner, why don't we stand together tonight? Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I'm so thankful for the truths in your word and the principles in your word that are meant to guide me, are meant to lead me, Father, in your path and your direction and the things that you desire for my life tonight. I'm thankful for that. I pray, let your word be that light. I invite your word, Father, to be the light to the path that I'm walking on. I invite your word to be that lamp and to illuminate things to me, Father. I invite your word, Father, to be the correction that you intended to be in my life. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I invite your word to be my guide tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your word is truth, Father. Your word is life. I'm thankful tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.